you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, February 20th, 2017. Back again for some more is our very own Mary Ann Offenstein. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, this is a big week for Jason and I and at least 55 other members of our pilgrimage heading to Israel on Wednesday. And so tomorrow, the doctors, Dr. Jim and Dr. Alex, will be joining me.
I call that the soap opera sound, the doctors.
The doctors. They'll be on Tuesday, and then Joey Kroll will be on Wednesday, because on Thursday and Friday, I'm going to air some of the broadcasts, the live sessions from Moody's Founders Week, as featured a few weeks ago at the Moody campus in Chicago. And because a couple of people said, Mark, all these years, 20 years, you've carried live coverage of Founders Week, the morning session and the evening sessions. What happened? Well, a couple of things. For whatever reason, and I haven't gotten a clear answer, they didn't provide the live morning coverages. All these years, we've always carried it live from basically about 9:30 to noon.
I remember that.
Those weren't available. They were only going to allow that to be accessed through the internet for some reason. And so we didn't have access to that. And then the other issue was a programming snafu. I didn't quite know how to access the programs in the evening.
Snafu.
And I couldn't pull it off.
Unrelated to you.
Yeah. So the snafu was beyond my pay grade.
Oh,
I couldn't
there you
figure
go.
It all out.
That works.
And so it was just easier to not provide it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
With that said, it is a great conference. We've always loved carrying it. And so in light of the fact that I'll be in Israel and you're going to be hosting the morning program. So what will happen is today it's obviously you're being featured, not as my fill-in, but as an integral part. In fact, I wish our listeners were here an hour ago and could have observed our conversation. Very animated, heartfelt, meaningful, and sincere and intentional, and it has to do with some of the direction for this radio ministry, basking it in prayer, comments on prayer and evangelism and reaching out. And so I might tap into that, see if we can recalibrate some of those thoughts and comments, because I think it'll be a blessing to our listeners. So we have you today. Tomorrow will be the Dr. Z. Yeah, and Dr.
Tune in for the Dr.
J. Yeah, that'll be tomorrow. More about wellness. And then I think we'll move Joey onto Wednesday. And then start our Founders Week specials with Thursday and Friday being Dr. Paul Nyquist, president of the Moody Bible Institute. We'll break his basically 46-minute message into 2 days. And, you know, there's some of that Moody live Founders Week feel where he's introduced and there's other music and sound, and then he delivers about, I don't know, 35, 40-minute message. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be Thursday and Friday. And then the following week, beginning with Monday, February 27th and 28th, that'll be Monday, Tuesday, it'll probably be Janet Parshall. And
I
so
like her.
She'll be featured those 2 days, and you'll do a little intro and a close. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, March 1st and 2nd, we'll feature Gary Chapman's talk. Just a second. We'll feature Gary Chapman's message into those 2 days, and then probably Friday will be Joey Kroll on March 3rd. And that'll be the day when we return sometime like about 11 or 12 at night.
Wow.
And so we'll have lots to say, I'm sure, on Monday and Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends. But we'll have Founders Week coverage at the end of this week, and then all of next week with Joey Kroll being shifted to Friday the 3rd. So that's kind of the lineup.
Well, here's one person that's hoping y'all, I'll just be counting the days till your whole group gets back.
Okay, hey, step up here for a second. We're just going to put you on here for a minute.
No, thanks.
Yeah, just sit for a second. It'll just be real easy. It's like for 3 minutes.
And it's, you'll never come back.
You have the phone number for 911.
Yeah.
What are you going to?
Oh, just watch. You'll see. It'll just be like a minute or two. It'll be really. No, it's perfect. No, it won't even be a minute. We're just going to say you just in. So just put these on. That way you can hear.
What are you going to ask?
Nothing. We're just going to comment that you're here. It'll all work out.
I've heard that before.
Here, do you want the headphones on?
Yeah, he needs them on.
Yeah, put them on. Well, Marianne, just behind you, I see Randy is in here. He's working on our heat. He provides and has worked on our air conditioning in the past and also was one of the sponsors and helpers with our anniversary and with the starting of the Great News Radio Center here.
Yeah.
He's on our name plaque at the front. And we just dragged him in.
I know, dragging
is the word. He doesn't
want
to be in here. So,
he's not seeking notoriety or anything.
He said, no, I don't want to be on the radio, but I kind of hooked him. I said he had to sit down for a second.
He's not in chains or anything.
Yeah. So Randy, we do want to honor you because
you have
some skills with air conditioning and heating and I think plumbing too.
Yep, that's right.
And you're out of Paxton, but you cover a lot of East Central Illinois, a lot of territory, right?
Yeah, Paxton, Gibson City, and we do about a 30-mile radius.
And he was just in. He was looking at we didn't have the heating system working, and he just got down off the roof and told me the good news was that it's just probably a matter of we don't have gas running to the system, which I didn't know the 4 months I've been here that I had the electric account, but I guess through Ameren I needed to say, hey, make sure my gas is running. So hopefully that was that simple, and thank you, Randy.
Yep, oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Glad we were able to help.
What did you say, though? You said something about it's igniting and it's ready to go, and what was that?
Yep, it sparks, but there's no gas for it to burn.
I think there's some kind of, like,
spiritual,
you know, as they say in Bible college, you know, that'll preach. It's like the ignition's there, the sparks there, things there, but just no gas.
So let's say, like the Holy Spirit, like I've come to Christ, but I'm not reading my Bible, I'm not walking in the Spirit, you know, I just need to be ignited and
no gas.
Launched. And, well, Randy, I know you are reluctant. You know, my favorite guests, the favorite people I like to interview or have a part of Mark and Friends or the radio ministry.
The ones you embarrass to pieces.
Yeah. Are the ones that are reluctant because they don't want to be featured. They don't want notoriety. They don't want to be recognized. They don't have any intent of, hey, did you hear I was on Mark and Friends or I was on the radio? And that's a good thing. That's a good trait. And yet, those are the people that I kind of want sharing their life story or their testimony or expanding on their faith journey because they don't look at it as something that they really want to toot their horn. Or in your case, I don't know all your faith journey, but many people say, well, I don't have one of those transformational moments where I can remember on April 13th of 2003, or I grew up in this very dysfunctional home, and, you know, I've been in prison so many years, and all these habits. And so
Randy's shaking his head, no.
And so they will say, so my testimony isn't
interesting.
Yeah, or that's significant in the sense where it's sensationalized. And
not
I said,
true.
No, Randy, or many people, those are very unique, and that's the more common expression of the story that most people identify with. They don't identify with those crazy ones or, you know, the ones where it was a dramatic change. Many people say, you know, I grew up in a family that took me to church, and I don't really know the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that
I'm just a behind-the-scenes kind of guy.
Yeah.
Well, I that is true, because I am glad to finally meet you. I have heard your name mentioned so many times here. I mean, Randy, you know, stopped in. He said this. He stopped in. He fixed that.
Yep. And so you have a great assistant. Now, is he still up on the roof?
Yeah, he's picking up the tools.
Oh, he's the lucky one.
He's picking up the tools, and he's been with you for a little while. And you've had other different people that you've trained or helped or taught, I guess.
Yep.
Over the years.
How long have you been in this business?
This is my 40th year directly. And our company's actually, this is our 100th year. And, of course, my dad before me. But the building we're in downtown Paxton has been plumbing and heating since 1917.
1917.
So 100 years this year.
And it's Houston. Even though it looks like Houston, it's Houston.
That's correct.
Houston. I generally have to pause and think, okay, it's not Houston, though it looks like that's how you'd pronounce it.
Right.
And we've been friends. You've been a part of the radio ministry for a long time, listening, supporting us. I don't know. We've talked for a lot of times. I've heard some of the stories of some of your family that are serving the Lord. I know we can't give specifics because of the unique work that they're doing, but some of your family members that are serving the Lord. And because we got you seated here and because you've made it this far,
he's still talking to you.
What's that thumbnail testimony? You grew up in a religious home, a family home, kind of going to church.
Oh, yeah.
And did you have that defining moment in the teen years where you said, okay, Lord, I know there's a God. It's obvious because of the world and what's been revealed. But when did that relationship grow?
Well, I've just always been there. But, right. you know, mm-hmm. of course, in, like you say, in the late teens, you know, it's when, hey, it's time to be baptized and mm-hmm. be more serious about it. Mm-hmm. So.
And you currently attend Paxton Church of Christ for a number of years, I think?
Yeah, that's right.
And
always have.
Tell us, before you journey out, two things special about your wife.
Oh, gosh.
Nice.
Now, with recently having Valentine's Day, you know, these should be on the top of your lips. I'll give you a second or two to come forth with these. But what drew you to her initially? And if she was tuned in today, what would she like to hear you say about her?
Well, she was the only girl that ever would talk to me or go out with me.
So you nabbed that first one.
Yep. My wife, Mary, we've been married for over 35 years now. And
wow.
And she's my life partner.
Yeah.
And I think Larry Burkett used to say, where opposites attract, where if you were so much the same, then one of you would be unnecessary, I think is how he used to say it. So does she have strengths in areas where you have weaknesses, or is she like that sounding board or that refining tool of God that needs to chip off some of your rough edges and then helps you be a better man?
Well, she tries. Yep.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Good for her.
Yep. Well, she's also the musician in the family.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. She plays piano and organ for a couple different churches.
Okay. Nice.
Well, I need to keep.
Yes. I see your tool carriers in the background. That
yeah. We've taken it part of your work day.
Yeah. Okay. Am I going to be charged for this? Well, thanks for your support to the ministry. Yep. And I think we mentioned on Friday's edition of Mark and Friends when Larry Bunning walked by and we pulled him in, and then Alaric walked by and we pulled him in.
You realize nobody's going to want to come here.
Yeah,
they're
going to
be like scared to death.
Yeah, the mall's going to say, we used to have a lot of traffic through
yeah,
here, and
weird.
Now nobody's coming out anymore. What's going on here?
We've had so many people coming in. So,
well, thank you, Randy.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mark. Thanks for all you do for us.
I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too.
You too, Randy.
So that was Randy Houston Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, and he's worked to help us here at the Great News Radio Center, and actually has worked on our home air conditioning in a time or two. Of course, we have to pay for that, but he's been very generous and supportive and is a regular listener of this radio ministry, and we appreciate him on a moment's notice has come in and has worked on things, and it has helped out, and so... Anyways, that was kind of fun, Marianne. You know, he's already out the door and heading to probably work on a project somewhere around the area. So you just never know when you come by the Great News Radio Center
if you
get pulled in. Now, what were we talking about?
Well, let's see. Were we talking about Israel?
I did mention that this Wednesday, a group, for the listeners that maybe haven't been tuned in for a while, will have 56 joining us on this pilgrimage. We don't call it just a tour because we're going to be very intentional, Jason and I, on building into these people the scripture and the experience of that transformational work that God did right there in that land where he walked as Jesus. Mm. And we'll take communion together and pray together and worship together and eat together and fellowship and have lots of teaching. We're also going to be doing in the morning sessions, Jason, at like 6 or 6:15 or 6:30. It'll vary on different days. He's going to be very intentional on taking us through a discipleship. I think it's like a workbook on evangelism. And then we'll have the teachings throughout the day. So he's been working really hard. Last Friday we had an orientation meeting. So we'd appreciate your prayers as we will journey throughout the land of the book, as they say, and walk where Jesus walked. Oftentimes they'll say we'll run where Jesus walked because there's a lot to accomplish.
Well,
but we're very excited.
I have a question.
A question mark?
Yeah. No.
Sorry.
A question, comma, mark. As I say each time you do that. Since you put dear Randy Houston on the spot.
Totally on the spot.
I have a question for you.
I might have to pay for that. He might have just tripled my the cost for coming
repairs.
Out.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like that kind of guy at all. So I know you have said so many things on air about Israel, and you said so many things about how the blessing it is to so many people and all the amazing stories. And the listeners don't know, I'm going to ask you this question. But you've gone so many times now. How many?
This will be the 27th.
27.
For many people, they wonder, what?
Well, that's my question. What is it, apart from facilitating so many other people getting to experience it, what is it that keeps drawing you personally back to wanting to go there?
God. No, really, I can say that with all sincerity. Many times I've said this, probably over the air too, but the pilgrims, they say, now when's the next trip? And I always tell them, the trip I'm on is the last trip I'm planning. I have no intentions on going again unless I feel God is leading or orchestrating or bringing a specific theme or an intentionality, is that a word, for going. You know, I've gone a lot, I've enjoyed it thoroughly. But the current trip I'm on is my last trip unless I feel God has very purposefully raised it up. And I think I can put together a good trip. I like the challenge. I like making it better and new and improved and always tweaking the itinerary. But it's like this Wednesday when we leave, there is no trip for 2018.
Wow.
But generally what tends to happen is when a trip starts up and the first timers say, gosh, this exceeded my expectations. When's the next trip? Or people that have gone with me 2 and 3 and 5 and 7 times will say, do you have one planned yet? And I'll say, no, I don't feel there's like a theme yet or there's dates or anything. And then some other people say, hey, I've been thinking about going to Israel. Do you have any plans? And I'm like, no, nothing yet.
Wow.
And then usually by the time I've heard from the 6th or 8th or 15th person, somewhere along the lines, as I pray, Lord, might you be orchestrating or putting together a future trip? Give me a theme, something that we can be intentional about. Do we want to work on and focus on discipleship or worship? Because we never just go to sites. It's not touring. In fact, we stopped saying touring Israel, I don't know, many trips ago. We put it more into a pilgrimage where it's a journey. So we don't want anyone under the illusion it's a vacation.
Right.
It's a lot of work. It's waking up early. It's a lot of preaching and teaching and talk and conversations. Now, it's fun, and that's one of my roles is how can I infuse fun and entertain everyone and have them feel pampered and cared for, and yet also times of prayer and communion and holy moments when there's baptisms or rededications or points of conviction where there's a sense that, you know, we really need to pause and linger at this site because God is working.
Wow.
And so my role is a cheerleader, and yet it's a facilitator to try to figure out the transitions. Maybe after Jason preaches, do you get up right away, or do I kind of sense, hey, you know, get into groups of 3 and 4, and let's pray over what God may have just spoken to you? Or is it a point where do we lead out in worship? Do I encourage somebody, hey, how about singing a song? It seems like right now, in light of what has just been shared or portrayed or talked about, sometimes it's just everyone needs quietness. So I usually begin a trip and say, hey, when we finish a time of teaching and prayer, don't anyone move. Don't anyone do anything for at least 5 or 7 seconds. Let whatever was just spoken or taught or pointed out, let it sink in. I've been in a lot of groups where as soon as the prayer finishes, people are getting up and
jumping up, disruption.
And or you start talking about the football game or whatever, and it's like, wait a minute, we were just communing with God. We were just listening to God. And so I try to have everyone... And it becomes really a teaching moment because then everyone is really conscientious of what just happened. There's that pause, maybe it's 6 or 8 seconds, and then you transition in. I think a lot of pastors, I've sat under a lot of great preaching, and they've delivered a God-inspiring message, no doubt about it. There was, at least in my mind, conviction, and I felt like God spoke through this individual. And they no sooner finish amen, and they transition right into the church announcements or something else. I'm like, gosh, you probably had just brought conviction to some people's souls and hearts. Or there was maybe even a tenderizing of somebody where they were ready for maybe coming forward to an altar call or a point of decision. And you, I won't say blew it, but gosh, you crowded it out because you had an agenda to go on to the next thing. And so I've counseled pastors, when you have preached a God-inspired message that you felt that he wanted you to share, when you're done, let there be 8 or 10 seconds. Let there be silence so that word, it's kind of like with singing men sometimes, a little pet peeve. Okay, I guess I'm getting on a little soapbox, but we'll have a prayer time. And no sooner will the prayer end, it gets disrupted by noise or people getting up or moving around. And I thought, you know, the prayer hadn't even left the room. I mean, if the prayer was upwards towards God, it hadn't even gotten through the ceiling when there was all this disturbance or commotion or a transition into, if you will, fleshly things or things that, if you really take to heart, we were just talking to God. We were approaching the throne room of God through our conversations, our petitions, our intercession, you know. We were just talking with God, and we now are, you know, on this. I just have seen many times where I think God has just sown some seeds, and those transitions are huge.
Yeah.
So if you're a pastor, this is from my heart, my heart to yours. When you have studied and prepared and spent many hours in preparation to deliver a message, and then you deliver that message that you know God has put on your heart, when you finish, let there be some space between that next transition. And don't just start right into, okay, now let's go to, you know, realize that you've been a mouthpiece or a vocal agent for the Lord, and let there be 6 or 8 or 10 seconds. And that's powerful. When pastors have done that and they've let that pause in there, it's almost like that message gets sealed into your soul or your heart. I just know that.
That is powerful, Mark. Isn't there a scripture, something about making room for the Spirit? I can't think where it is, but there's something about that. That's what I hear. That's powerful. No, that's why it's not a tour, it's a pilgrimage.
Yeah. Well,
because
that's
there's space and listening. And listening for guidance.
Okay, so back to your original question, why do I keep doing it? I think God's wired me with that spiritual gift, exhortation. I love seeing people grow. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think this radio ministry and myself are a good fit, because through the broadcast of all these great Bible teachers, these devotional thoughts, the scripture that's being read, the spoken word through song and music, all is equipping the saints or the seeker to know God. Everyone's on that continuum, that faith journey of growing or growing towards the Lord or growing in the Lord. And so I thrive on seeing that happen. And so when I get to take people to Israel, every trip is different. Every trip is unique. Wow. Every trip has different Kesher moments. I've shared maybe that over the air.
Yeah.
The English equivalent to that Hebrew word Kesher is Velcro, and it's where people make that connection with the word, being on location, and they see with their own eyes the distances, the terrain, the sights, the smells, like what it might have been when Jesus spoke those words, or how the disciples struggled because of the fear, being on the Sea of Galilee and being mountain ranges all around. They couldn't see that this big storm was coming, and so when it showed up, they were terrified. Because I always thought, you know, okay, one quick example. These were fishermen. These were men's men. These weren't
pansy, mamsy, wussies.
For them to scream out, Lord, we're all going to drown.
Yeah.
For them to be terrified. This was a huge storm.
Yeah, yeah, right. They'd seen storms before.
But wouldn't you have thought, you know, Peter, John, you're fishermen. You knew when to fish, when not to fish. What were you doing out on the boat if there's this huge, pending, terrible storm? Well, if you're on the Sea of Galilee, to the north, south, east, and west, there's mountain ranges. So you can't see upcoming weather shifts, weather fronts. From that point on the Sea of Galilee to the Mediterranean Sea, it's like 26 to 32 miles. It's the narrowest part of Israel. And so you have these huge weather fronts from North Africa or Europe that they go over the warm Mediterranean Sea. Mm-hmm. They come up over the mountain ranges. Tiberias is a whole mountain range on the side of the Sea of Galilee. And then they crash into the sea. So literally, these storms can come up out of nowhere, and they don't have GPS. They didn't have the Weather Channel. They didn't know these storms would come. And so I've been on the Sea of Galilee where out of nowhere, it's as calm as can be, like glass. And then suddenly there's this storm, and the boat's being rocked. Now, obviously, in the day of Jesus, it was a furious storm, so much so they cried out. But those kind of things happen. And so that Kesher moment, suddenly you say, wow, this biblical account is not just a story. This is a reality. This happened. And so I love seeing that happen over and over again. Back to the reason why I keep going is it's neat to see how God builds into people the validity of the scripture. They have their own little Kesher moments, and then there's that camaraderie and sharing and blessing and growth. And everyone, without exception, I've taken hundreds of people. They will return and say they now read the scripture differently because they've seen it. So,
well,
we're out of time.
You have just preached a very inspiring sermon.
Yeah.
I mean that. And that's going to help all of us here know how to pray for you. Because we're not just praying for a tour.
Yeah.
We're praying for what you just talked about. And that'll come back and bless everybody.
Well, that's part of the goal, is that these 50, let's see, it's me and 55 others, when they return, they become active agents of the Lord, responsible now of this new insights, this new growth, this new development, to bless their church, to bless their community, their small group, those around them. And so, yeah, very excited. We appreciate your prayers. And I know only a select few people can go on trips to Israel.
Sure.
We'll all get to unite at the Holy City one day.
But the 27 times you have heard at the right moment and the right time to do this.
Yeah.
So this one is the right group for the right time.
Right, right. And I don't know.
And we'll all be blessed.
There might be something in 2018, but that'll be the Lord's working.
If he calls me to be a part of it,
I'll be excited. Well, listener, thanks for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Offenstein with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
God bless you.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteous.